Hey, thank you everyone for joining us this Sunday. Dave and I are back in the studio again. We took last week off. I was out chasing elk. That's going to be the topic of conversation today.
Yeah, you had some challenges there.
Well, there were a lot of challenges. It's elk hunting. It's work. But through a friend of ours, Craig Hagen, I found out after the fact that we were, I don't want to say accused, but somebody made the comment that they had been shot at. As it turns out, it was by us, my dad and I. He was the one with the tag. He was doing the shooting.
Yeah.
But so we'll go into that story. You'll definitely need to refill the coffee or maybe put a splash of bourbon in it to get through that.
Little Zambuca.
Is that the Zambuca is the call?
Yeah, that's tasty in a coffee.
Well, there you go. Coming straight from the horse's mouth. Speaking of horses.
Yes.
I want to give everybody a heads up. There is a horse gather going on in 015, which.
Northern Washoe.
Kudos. Cheers. Police them up. Get them out of there. But there is, it overlaps with the muzzleloader antelope hunt going on. Yeah. Right now.
Right now. Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird date for that, isn't it?
I think all those dates kind of get weird. I
mean, okay.
Hunt starting on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, so.
I think that one started September 5th and runs through, or 25th, excuse me.
Yeah, the 25th and runs through October
4th or 4th, something.
Yeah. Like next weekend.
So if you see, I'm assuming they're using helicopters and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, they could be. Just be aware of all that. Know what's happening out there. And if you're out there hunting or doing whatever. And it's pretty cool to watch, too.
See, I've never seen one.
Yeah, it's cool to watch.
Like I said, man, I'm glad they're doing it because Washoe, especially Northern Washoe, they need to police up some of those. Hey, let's see. Yesterday was the Cave Lake Restoration Project. That's so that they can reopen next year?
Correct. Yeah.
So thanks to all the volunteers that showed up and put in some work for that. Cave Lake's a beautiful area.
Oh, it's a great resource. I know a couple months ago they had the carp fish out. Out there at Cave Lake.
And, carp or pike? Are there pike in Cave Lake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think it was a carp fish out as well.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they did a pike one as well.
Hey, cool fish, but not in Cave Lake.
No, not in Cave Lake. So yeah, so they've slowly been working on getting that kind of cleaned up and in a sense restored so they can open it back up. But it's a great place. If you guys ever want a short drive out there and camp out there, man, that country is phenomenal.
So thanks to everybody that showed up for that. I wanted to thank a personal friend of mine, Chris Maestas. He owns that Atlas Strength and Physique here in Reno. I don't think we ever talked about it on the show.
No.
Earlier this year, I had a hernia and I had surgery on that. I was, laid up for like 2 months, basically.
Oh, yeah. You were a mess.
I pushed it a little too hard, Dave.
Yeah.
Chris was absolutely instrumental in getting me back on my feet and actually getting me to a point where I just packed out an elk last week and I felt better than I ever have. So again, hey, we have this platform and I like to make it a point to thank friends of mine who help us out. Chris Maestas, it's Atlas Strength and Physique here in Reno. He's an accomplished power lifter. Now, you're not going to see me winning any contests.
No.
But I slung two elk quarters on my back and carried them up a mountain and I didn't die.
Yeah. So. No, and that's got to feel good knowing that, the program that Chris handed you said, hey, do these things, three times a week, take your time, build your strength back up. Cause I do remember you were pretty down on yourself there for a while.
Oh man.
You weren't able to work out. You were worried about hunting season coming up. Am I going to be able to hike around? Am I going to be able to do this, that, and the other thing? And thankfully he got you on your track and you stuck to it. And
he was great, man. Yeah. He listened to all my I can do this hurts, lunges hurt. This hurts. This doesn't. He worked around all that stuff. And super instrumental into getting me back to where I had some semblance of conditioning going into the mountains.
Exactly. Especially we got Chucker coming up here. There's be plenty of hiking going on.
Oh, buddy.
Don't have to worry about packing those out and it's not heavy.
But no.
It's just
I'm usually lighter going out because I've shot two boxes and.
But you got two birds.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and then one more, and then we'll kind of dive into, you got some commission meeting notes.
Yeah.
Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight. My dad used a 6.5 Creedmoor Howa Superlight on the hunt.
Nice.
Proven on cow elk. So
wow, that's impressive.
He loved carrying it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bet. It's like a stick.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at the 308 for Gina.
That's Newberg's go-to.
Yeah. It is.
My dad had the 6.5 Creedmoor, and it was nice not having a 10-pound rifle to carry through the mountains for sure.
Right.
So shout out to Legacy Sports International. Now, without further ado, commission meeting stuff, Dave. Let's dive into that.
Yeah. Commission's going on right now this weekend. It was on Friday and Saturday, so everyone's probably heading home today. But this commission meeting down in Las Vegas was pretty thin. It was not a lot of controversial stuff going on, which was, kind of nice.
Nice change of pace.
It's a nice change of pace. Just a few things I thought I'd bring up in relation to what was talked about at the commission. One of them was a petition by a Mr. Michael Scow, S-C-O-W.
Scow, Scow, I don't know.
Scow, it's like crow, but
I'll go to Scow.
Let's do that. He submitted a petition to add a hunt for long-term Nevada residents 30 years or more and age of 70 or older, allowing them a deer tag in the area of the Department of Wildlife's choice during the regular season. And I kind of actually, to be honest with you, I like this idea.
So it's essentially an automatic, like an over-the-counter situation?
Yeah, kind of like the youth tag was back in the day when they first started the youth program. No matter what, the youth, you had a tag.
Right,
Almost like guaranteed. It was guaranteed. This is kind of like that. If you're 70 years of age and older, and you've been a resident of the state of Nevada for 30 years or longer, there's probably not a ton of them that are also hunters.
Yeah.
They're getting older in their careers, and waiting 5 and 6 years for a tag may never see a tag again.
So it gives them the opportunity to get out.
To continue the thing they love doing annually. I mean, they've put their time in. They've put in their money for tags. They've done all of that. I like the idea.
And Endow chooses the, what did it say? Something about
So it would be a deer tag in the area of the Nevada Department of Wildlife's choice.
Right,
but this
right.
But this is just like a super 30,000 foot summary of his petition.
I'll go there with you. And I think that's the linchpin of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Is the Endow chooses the unit.
You have to be a resident for at least 30 years and 70 years of age or older. Can't be a whole lot of them.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So I like that idea. And then, let's see, real quick here, they talked about a new season and quota app update. So this is the app where they're talking about having a software application that can be used by the commission, the Department of Wildlife, and staff to track the department's recommendations, the county advisory board's input, and the commission adoption of big game regulations and stuff. So it's, it's an app on your phone that you could get on and follow what's been going on. So.
And I got some questions about that, but I'm looking at the clock and we got to go to break here. When we come back, let's talk about the app. We'll talk a little more about the commission meeting, and then we'll go into hunting etiquette / ethics, preparedness in the mountains. All of it's coming up on Nevada Backcountry.
And we are back here at Nevada Backcountry. Shout out to Truck Envy out there. Again, if anyone's got anything they need for their truck, off-roading, wheels, tires, suspensions, any kind of knickknacks you want to doll your rig up with, get a hold of Truck Envy. They've got everything for you. And if not, they will definitely order it.
Yeah, you got your running boards there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. They work great. They hold my butt.
That's always a good thing.
That's always good. You want those things snapping off.
Hey, before we went to break, Dave, you started to go into the app in this last meeting. Just so I understand, that's not the e-tag thing they're proposing?
No, this is something totally different. Yeah, this will be a software app that will have like the commission updates, what they've been talking about, regulation changes, adoptions of regulations. It'll also have some tracking some of the department activities and department recommendations. When new things come up or something disappears and they're like, hey, where did that regulation go? This app kind of has all of the meat and potatoes in there.
I'm all for streamlining the process to
transparency.
Yeah, exactly. Get information out to those who recreate, hunt, fish in the outdoors. So I'm all for that. I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. How are they going to pay for the development of that app?
There's several grants that are available for things like that, for Fish and Wildlife Service grants. There's other grants that can get tapped into for this kind of stuff. This is kind of like an outreach, education outreach type of a...
Then I give it my full-throated
Yes, go for it. So, but yeah, on the e-tag thing, though, that was also discussed. That's Regulation 522, and it is the commission... They're holding a workshop, or they held a workshop on Nevada Administrative Code NAC 502 that would update the process related to the use of game tags and licenses in the field and allow the department to offer game tags in an electronic format.
Okay.
So it would just show up on your phone. So instead of having to pull it out of your wallet or your backpack, it would be an option to have
an option
to have it on your cell phone.
And I'm assuming they were ironing out some of the stuff like, well, how do I affix the tag if it's on my phone?
Right. They're probably figuring that stuff out. And there's a lot of states that already do it. You've got South Dakota, North Dakota, I think Minnesota, several states already have the e-tag option. So you can just piggyback on what they're doing and then modify it to best accommodate our sportsmen and women.
Perfect. So, yeah. What else was covered?
Well, one more thing I thought would be kind of cool. It's just this was pretty much the commission meeting talking about the fish regulations. The commission is considering amending certain fish seasons and regulations and possession limits. So for the time period of January 1st to December 31st.
Gotcha.
So that was discussed. So then that'll all come out in the fish regs and in the fish book.
One thing we were talking over the break, and I wanted to bring this up. I think everybody that's listened to the show now knows kind of where I come down on government intervention and stuff, which is,
just no.
That being said, I'd make it a point, couple places that I've enjoyed over the years, and I've seen the impacts of e-bikes would be Kerman. Now, technically, Kerman's down there in California, so not really a Nevada issue, but Kerman and Marlette, which is in Nevada, so it would make it a Nevada issue. You know, I'm the sucker that I deflate my float tube, I pack it in my pack, I got my little hand pump, all that, and then I hike my sorry rear end all the way into wherever I'm fishing.
Yeah.
The last time, I haven't been back since, last time I went to Marlette, I noticed people on e-bikes ripping up that access road, getting straight up there and then coming out on, I've seen people in the past do it via pedal bike, which I'm okay with that. Fair enough. You want to pedal up the hill with a float tube on your back? Go for it. E-bikes is kind of blurring the line there with might as well be a dirt bike or a quad or, you know. Yeah. So is that being discussed at all in some of these more remote fisheries as far as any type of e-bike regulation?
The Department of Wildlife doesn't have any regulatory authority over those types of things, the e-bikes and such. That would be more of the state parks and federal agencies when you start talking about wilderness.
Right.
I've noticed that in some of the wilderness areas now, they've changed the signs. You remember the signs used to say no motorized vehicles. You know, they would show a Jeep with an X out of it or a dirt bike with an X through it or something. Now they have a third one, which is no e-bikes.
Wilderness. Okay.
Even though Lake Tahoe is a wilderness, there's such popularity in the concession there and so many people use it for recreation of mountain biking and stuff. I don't think I would see that going anywhere. I have an issue with it because I think it's, if you're an older person and it's the e-bike is allowing you the opportunity to get into the field and enjoy the backcountry and stuff where, you know, you weren't able to get to because, you know, there's just no way you're going to pedal up these mountains. But when you're seeing these 20 somethings on these e-bikes and they're just ripping down the mountain and they're parkouring off of trees with them and stuff, and you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you just pedal.
Yes.
Just freaking pedal.
Pedal or hike.
Yeah.
I will say, okay, so let me back up. For all I know, it could already be prohibited. I've seen people doing it.
Not in Marlette, because okay. I was just up in that area, and there were some folks there with the e-bikes, the pedal assist bikes. You pedal for a bit, and then it helps you, but most of them are just full-on just electric.
Yeah, an e-bike.
They're just e-biking it up there. But, you know, okay. And there's a couple companies that have some really awesome, like, hunting e-bikes.
Oh, yeah.
The Rambo bike, which the motor's on the front and the back tire.
It's like a four-wheel or a two-wheel drive, as
that
it were.
Thing, I rode that thing at the NABBA show.
Okay.
When they had it there, and the guy said, just be careful, man. Don't hit the throttle too hard. And you're on it like, it's a bike. What are you talking about? Yeah, that thing.
Backflip in a hospital trip later.
You know, it's a thousand watts, and it was pretty darn impressive with the big old fat tires on it. I'm like, this could get you in some pretty cool spots, especially like retrieving an animal down a nasty canyon, you know, to where you're not destroying the habitat and stuff, and you're just kind of hitting a game trail and get down to your animal and get it out of there. But
I think they're much lower impact than like ATVs.
You got some of those folks in those ATVs, they crush over sagebrush. They just destroy so much habitat. Not even just retrieving their animal. You see it every year.
I saw it on the elk hunt up in 06 too. I'll talk about that as well.
It's so wrong. I would love to see some of those folks just get, because it's illegal.
The legalese on it states, if I shoot an animal, I can go directly to that animal, trail or not, pick up the animal, drive out.
Correct. Back to the road.
Real world example. I can't be driving timber patch to timber patch in a roadless area to check out elk.
No.
If there's no road.
No, not at all. And I think some of the biggest offenders are the shed hunters.
Oh, I'd go there with you. Yeah, I believe that.
They'll glass up a shed up on the side of the mountain, and they just haul up there with their UTV or their ATV to get up there.
To get
the
it
shed,
and get out. And time is money. So I think we might have fallen victim to that. Up in 062, over there, I'll warn anybody listening, Blue Jacket 1 near Blue Jacket Peak. It comes up on a map as a road, but I'm telling you, it's like maybe a dozen vehicles have driven it. Oh. And we got in some hairy situation. We ended up backing out.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, enough on that. Real quick, before we go to break, waterfowl stuff. Or trucker season's coming up.
Yeah, well, this weekend, I'm sure we don't have a full cast of people listening to us today, because it is the youth chucker and youth waterfowl for the northwestern part of the state for waterfowl. But youth chucker opened up the 28th of September and runs through October 6th.
Okay.
And then the rest of us all get out there on October 12th for chucker and partridge. For Huns.
Hopefully you're out there with your kids. Now, youth season means the kids got to shoot them.
Correct.
Dave and I talked about that too.
Yeah.
You can't just have a five-year-old asleep in a kid pack and limit out and call it a youth hunt.
Right.
Kids got to do the shooting.
That's generally how it's supposed to work.
Don't go anywhere. Coming up are the two segments I've been teasing. Refill the coffee. Put something a little stronger than coffee in it if you want. It's going to get interesting when we come back on Nevada Backcountry. Hey, if you are just joining us, the show is Nevada Backcountry. You're listening to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk out there in Lyon County. Before I get rolling on this story, Dave, Battleborn Tree Service, for hunters, by hunters. I think Mike got the bull tag done. He's back in town.
Yeah, I was going to ask if he...
I haven't seen pictures yet.
He tagged it.
I think he's done. I haven't seen pictures, but if you need tree service at your property, if you've put off the honey to-do list because you had a tag, get in touch with Battleborn Tree Service. I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to slide right into this story. So first, let me preface this with... The intent of telling this story on this platform over the air is not to shame anybody. It's not to badmouth anybody. I have a couple points of contention that I'm going to bring up with the way some folks were hunting out there. That being said, if you are listening and you were one of those people, you recognize this story and you go, oh, that was us on the other end of it. get in touch with us. The phone number is 775-884-8000. The text line is 775-884-9910. You can always go to the website and email us, and I'd love to have a conversation with you, and maybe we could agree to disagree on some points, but I think we'd find some common ground.
Nice way of putting it, Henry.
Another deep breath. So my dad had the 062 elk tag. It was a cow elk tag. The elk in that unit liked to be in fairly roadless areas, with the exception of a couple prominent bulls. I'm going to try to play a little coy about the area. But there are some areas where the elk are, where they can be accessed by a road. We found one of these areas, and we found a herd of about 65, 70 elk in there. And like clockwork, they were doing the same thing. We had watched them the day before. So the morning of the incident, we get up at 4 a.m., drive all the way around the unit to come in the backside. You know, we had come up with a game plan, like, well, if we go in this way, they'll see us. Let's go in this other way. It's more work, but we'll get in undetected. We park the side-by-side at the top of this peak, leave it kind of like on our antelope hunt, leave it behind rocks out of view.
Yeah.
We put our packs on. We slip down this long ridge to get in position. Hopefully by daylight, we were right there about daylight, and maybe get a shot at a cow. So we get in position. Man, I was calling in bulls, just cow chirping. Bulls are coming in. We knew we were kind of in the hot spot. And we thought, hey, this is great. We'll be out of here by 10 a.m. So we're sitting up there. Sun comes up. The elk were like 900, 1,000 yards away down in this meadow. So we're like, well, we know how they work in this bowl. They'll come up to us at some point. So we'll play it cool. We'll wait. We're right above this timber. They're going to filter into this timber to bed midday. We'll crack one. Perfect. Along about 10:30, 11 o'clock, midday, I'll call it, a bright white side-by-side comes rolling in from the other side of the bowl, coming off, I don't want to say the peak, but coming off a high point in that area. So we watch them, I mean, for miles, just cruising down this road. And it's like, well, at some point, they got to know they're going to stop and maybe glass. Nope. They keep driving. They drove right to the saddle that is right above the bowl. I mean, within a couple hundred yards of where all the elk were. So, of course, as they're driving in, all the elk get up out of this timber. And there's more than we thought in there. But they're all just busting out. Well, these people see them bust out. So they park, leaving a bright white side-by-side with windows all the way around it. So, I mean, just it looks like a giant neon sign down there out in the wide open in this saddle. I mean, you see the thing for miles. They get out. Four of them go running across this open ground. And we think, oh, well, shoot. But, hey, maybe they'll shoot something and drive them back up the mountain to us. So we're still playing it cool. We watch them. They get set up. I won't say like hidden, but they're at least like on the edge of the tree line. But still, we're talking about like visible to any elk within miles. So at that point, we're kind of doing the disparaging, like, ah, these knuckleheads. And again, if you're listening, hey, I don't know you from Adam. I just kind of saw your tactics and I thought, well, that's kind of goofy. That's not really what I'd call hunting, but fair enough. Well, they sit there for about an hour. And at this point, all the elk are just in the timber, not coming out. They're still a ways from us. We hear a shot. Well, that's weird. We don't see any elk in the meadow. So I pick up the binos and I'm looking down there and I see they've got a whole rifle rig set up on a big tripod and everything and rifles on top of it. And they're shooting like down into the meadow. So the gun barrel's not facing up the mountain towards us. It's going out into the meadow. So we think, okay, maybe they're trying to spook them out of the timber, which we could get sidebarred on a debate as far as if that's ethical. But hey, everybody's different. I didn't really have a problem with it. And my dad and I were like, well, okay, we'll sit here and wait this out a little longer. Again, thinking, well, maybe it'll drive the elk closer to us.
Push them up.
Where we can get a 400-yard shot. At one point, I ranged where they were at. It was 1,137 yards away to our east. So we had kind of decided, okay, well, the elk will come up here and we will be taking a shot due south. So away, completely away from them, you know, we're neither of us are babes in the woods. We kind of know like, okay, well, shoot, that closes off the meadow, but no harm, no foul. It's public land, right?
Right.
We watch these people. They're just milling around, walking out across this finger, wide open. And some of them were wearing camo, but two of them were wearing like, one had a, the female had a bright white cap on and they were wearing blue jeans and I don't know what their experience level.
Just enjoying the day.
They're enjoying the day. And I think somebody had a tag. So anyway, this goes on. At one point I walk way, way out on this ridge line just in case the elk start heading up to us and I don't want to get shot. So, you know, hey, I didn't get any acknowledgement of that, but I thought, okay, that was my, I'm going to put my due diligence in to make sure they know we are up here.
Right.
Like I said, didn't get acknowledgement, but I went, well, whatever, man. They're, the gun is still mounted in this giant tripod thing and it's pointing at the meadow. So whatever. Go back to our spot. Well, fast forward, last light, the elk start moving just as we had planned. And we had spent all day out there. They start coming up and my dad has a perfect 144-yard shot due directly south of our location. Nowhere near these folks at all. Boom! He shoots. Boom! Shoots again. At that second shot, all hell broke loose down at their location. The guy starts, one of the guys, or two guys, or maybe three, I couldn't really tell, but there was a female with him. Might have been two girls, two guys. But one of the guys starts yelling, "We're down here! We're down here!" And we didn't really acknowledge, you know, my dad stands up and waves like, "Yeah, yeah, we see you. You know, there's still plenty of elk. Let's not go screaming."
Yeah.
Maybe they'll come out and you can tripod gun system set up, get one down. So he waves and we think, oh, okay. Well, they keep carrying on. The woman's waving this like sign thing. One of the other folks was like flashing a headlamp up at us. And we're kind of waving like, yeah, yeah, we know. And then I'm pointing like, his elk's over here. You know, hey, what's going on? Well, they boogie out of there. Like straight back to the side-by-side and just rip out of the road they came from. So it's like, well, geez, that was kind of a weird interaction.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's getting dark, and man, we got a heavy pack out in front of us. Let's get this thing done. So we go down there, clean it, quarter it, get it done, pack it out that night. We're happy. Cow elk on ice. My dad's tag is punched. The next day, we go back because my dad's friend, Ed Gray, Carson Valley Oral Surgery, he has a tag too. So we go back to kind of the same area and we run into who of all people but Craig Hagen, mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
So we run into Craig and we're talking about the kind of cluster at the end of the day yesterday. And I might have used some choice words to describe how I thought those people were hunting, which again, hey, water under the bridge at this point. If you're out there listening, get in touch and let's have a conversation. But Craig and I are standing there talking. He's camped by them or something off one of the main roads through the unit. So he says, oh yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, we were talking to them. They told us they were shot at up here yesterday or day before yesterday. I think it was at that point. And I said, really? So the skeleton from my dad's elk was still there. Craig and his mom had the tag. They walk over to where we were sitting. I said, there's the skeleton from my dad's elk. There's where those people were. And he's kind of looking at it and he agreed. He was like, what in the world? They thought they were getting shot at? I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm going to wrap this up now. Here is the cherry on top to the whole situation. While we're there, same thing. Midday. Here comes the same white side by side.
Oh, geez.
Off the same. They did the same exact thing. They just drove right up to the timber, parked, got out and started walking around out in the open and set up their tripod and gun system again. Kind of set up shop. And we thought, well, okay.
Oh, wow.
They're going to do this. So at that point,
Did you shoot again?
No, no. Hearing what we had heard from Craig, we elected to go steep and deep on the other side of the range. So we packed up and left at that point because I went, man, this just ain't worth it, man.
Yeah.
And it's public land. So, yeah. Hey, whatever. But there is my long-winded story. The first time I've been accused
of possibly,
well, not me, my dad, yeah. But I was involved.
Yeah. Possibly shooting towards,
shooting at someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what I could have done differently in that situation.
I don't know. Maybe down in the canyon there, the shot echoed and made it sound like it was really close to them. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have. And see, here's, let me temper all of this with, I've been shot at before when I was in the, I know what rounds incoming sounds like, and I know what just a gunshot sounds like.
Yeah.
So I do have that in my favor. Like when they shot, I knew like, well, that's not at me.
Yeah.
So let me see what's going on and glass them. But there you go. So anyway, that's
interesting.
Now, we had more interesting things happen on the last day of the hunt. Well, the hunt's still going on, but the last day we were out there. We'll talk a little bit about being prepared to elk hunt in the mountains when we come back on Nevada Backcountry. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, thank you for staying tuned through my long-winded hunting story. I want everybody's feedback on that story. So, like I said, text, email, whatever. Dave and I were talking over the break, and I wanted to get a little bit of his analysis on it, but I don't know if we could have done anything different except maybe if we had like a, well, in the military, it was VS-17 panel, but like a fluorescent orange panel we could have waved.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
You guys skylined yourself at one point.
Waved at them
and stuff. But, you know, you, like you were saying, they were 110 degrees off of your your left shoulder. I mean, there's no way you're shooting at them.
They were due.
So, like I said, it may have just been an echo, and they thought it was a lot closer than it actually was because they were down in the bottom of that basin and you shot from the top, you know. So
yeah, they were due directly east of our location, and my dad shot at a minimum 90 degrees south, if not further, a little more almost southwest.
Yeah.
So nowhere near. And like I said, I got that fancy long range rangefinder. They're side by side. 1,137 yards away.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think in that situation, I don't know if I would have done anything different. If an elk showed up, that was what my tag said I could take, and I saw where they were, I'm like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing.
Well, and my dad made the point, too, like, why lie? After our conversation with Craig Hagen, he was like, well, why not just say you heard some shots up there? Like,
yeah.
Instead of telling other hunters in the unit you got shot at.
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing I can think of is,
if I had to guess, I'd say maybe newer outdoorsmen.
It could have been.
Just based on the where they parked the vehicle, their
techniques,
like I said,
and stuff. Yeah, could be. I mean, that's the one thing with the rifle season. Not that that's what made me a bow hunter.
Bow hunting's fun.
And I started when I was 10 shooting a bow, but that was the one thing that's always kind of freaked me out a bit is the, like, some of these areas where there's hundreds upon hundreds of tags.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, you're not out there by yourself. And there's a lot of folks that don't exactly follow the rule of law. You know, they're just,
it's great outdoors. Let's shoot.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They just do their thing, and they're like, okay. So, yeah. So that's always puckered me up. That's why I, probably one of the main reasons, if not one in the top five reasons, I enjoy archery hunting more than anything is because you're not out there with hundreds of other hunters. You know,
right.
You pick a good area, you might have an area that's got 30 tags or 40 or 50 tags. So, and it's a bow.
Well, yeah, agreed. A real quick on that note, let's talk about an incident that just recently happened.
Yes.
With somebody getting their dog shot.
Yeah, I've been kind of following this a little bit on social media. A gentleman was hunting for grouse, and he has a GSP, a German short-haired pointer.
Right.
And it was on point from what I've read. And again, it's social media, so you got to take a grain of salt on all of this. But his dog was on point, and he was working his way up to the dog to get this grouse, and a shot went off, and his dog was killed.
Yeah.
And the individuals thought his dog was a coyote.
So here's where...
Like, know your stuff.
Know your stuff, but also is how, if he doesn't know who did it, I'm not sure how the coyote narrative came to be, right?
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of missing pieces in the conversation, right. But his dog was shot and killed.
Yep.
While he was grouse hunting by a rifle.
Yep.
By the when he got to his dog. So yeah, I haven't really found. I know that he is wanting justice for his dog. He wants,
understandably so, well,
completely. Yeah. He wants something done about the people who aren't taking the time to truly look at their target.
Yeah.
Like, understand their target, understand the surroundings. But yeah, this happened, I think it was like a week or two ago or so.
Okay.
It was very recent.
During grouse.
Yeah, because it was like last night I was tooling around on my phone and looking at our Instagram page and seeing, it popped up and I was like, oh, and it was the one where he was like, I'm going to keep pushing this until somebody hears me because my dog's dead because somebody's inability to know what they're doing when they're in the field with a gun.
You know what I always say about like those pictures when the anti-hunters trot out their get rid of the archery hunt, it's cruel thing. And they bring out those pictures with like a deer with an arrow in its head. And I always try to make the point, like, that's not what I would consider a hunter or an ethical outdoors person.
Yes.
That was probably kids screwing at teenagers, whatever, screwing around and doing something stupid.
Yeah.
So I'll allow, again, because there are those blank spaces in the story, I'll allow for, that could have been some 18, 19-year-old kid, whatever, screwing around with an AR out there and decided to whack a dog. I won't invite them into under the umbrella of hunter or outdoorsman.
Yeah.
Because I would like to think an actual hunter or outdoorsman knows the difference between a GSP and a coyote.
Yeah. I mean, I've been out in the field and seen like German shepherds and I'm talking when I've gone on hikes.
Right. Right.
And you see these animals at a distance, like huskies or German shepherds.
They've got the right coloring.
Yeah. You kind of look at them and you're like, what the heck is that? But then you take the time to actually like focus in on them or pull your binocs out and they go, oh, okay. That's Lassie. We're cool.
Yeah.
You figure it out. You don't just like, oh, look, there's something moving, and you start ripping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What area was that? Do you know?
He didn't say. It didn't say.
Well, if anybody knows anything about that, if you had a buddy come home hat in hand and say he thinks he shot a dog, do the right thing. It's on the Nevada Chucker Hunters.
Yeah, and Nevada, the Nevada Big Game Hunters, too. He's kind of posting it in a few different places, so... But
that's absolutely unacceptable.
Oh, I mean, I would be devastated if someone whacked Gage. Yeah, and my English setter. I mean, it would be ugly.
There's an emotional toll there because you bond with these bird dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll also say, and this, I'm not discounting the emotional toll. I know my Brittany, boy, that was a chunk of change.
Oh,
not
buddy.
Just for her, but then for 120 days of a gun dog program and... Cynthia, if you're listening, go ahead and turn the radio off now. But I mean, you're talking like $5,000-$6,000 for a trained, finished bird dog.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's that's a tough pill to swallow
for
sure.
Time. So so there's that kind of stuff going on. And I know our fields are getting fuller, a lot more people getting out there, especially with this whole e-bike world and now got everybody and their mother zipping around somewhere like it's a Club Med or something, but you know.
Hoverboards are next, Dave.
Dude, shut up, man. Stop it.
Leave no trace.
Leave no trace, man.
We ran out of time today. We did not get to mountain preparedness. So we'll do some of that in the upcoming shows here because I do want to talk about it. Had another experience out there where somebody got injured and it was late. It was dark. Just a crappy situation. But like I said, we're out of time. So Dave and I are going to get out of here. Thank you to all the show sponsors. Thank you to those of you who take the time out of your Sunday to listen to the show and those that go and listen to the podcast after the fact, because boy, I get it. Sundays are important, especially for the family.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. And thank you to the sponsors. Stay tuned for Tom Gresham's Gun Talk coming up next on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.